I started off hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice breeze. It's a nice breeze. So, Moshe uses a very interesting, very famous expression in this week's parsha. When he calls himself an Arel Sfatayim. Arel Sfatayim. Describing himself as an Arel Sfatayim. He can't speak very well. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, because I can't speak very well, in last week's parsha, because I can't speak very well, there he calls himself a Kavid Peh. Interesting, what's the difference and why he uses different expressions. It's not going to be the topic, but he says, because I can't speak particularly well, what's going to happen? Klal Yisrael is not going to listen to me. How does the Kadosh Baruch Hu react to Moshe Rabbeinu saying that Klal Yisrael is not going to listen to him? What? He sends Aaron as a practical solution, but he's not particularly happy that Moshe said that Klal Yisrael won't listen to him.
Oh,
yeah. And then what happens next?
He gives a for not having believed Klal
Yisrael. He gives him tochacha. And how do we know that he gives him tochacha? Rashi points out that one of the simanim, actually Rashi says this five times. Rashi makes five different mentionings, five independent mentionings of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. And so what was the siman that God gave him, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him? It's a rat. Sorry?
The snake,
yeah. The umanut shel nachash. Right, I got the umanut shel nachash. Rashi says that as well. Five different mentionings of Moshe Rabbeinu's Lashon Hara. Okay. So basically, Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending Moshe on a mission. Moshe says, "I'm an Arel Sfatayim." Moshe speaks Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. God punishes Moshe for speaking Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. That's the story. What's interesting is there is a similar story. There is a similar story, has some similar elements to it, in Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Vav, where Yeshayahu is receiving his divine mission, and he's having a vision where he's seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu on his Kisei HaKavod, with the Malachim around him. And there, Yeshayahu calls himself a Tames Sfatayim. Says, Anochi Tames Sfatayim. Right? It's a little similar language there. It's interesting. And then what does he say? And he says, and Klal Yisrael is an Am Tames Sfatayim. Oh, it's interesting. So Yeshayahu actually speaks negatively about Klal Yisrael there. And you know what happens next? He's punished for speaking Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. Now, by the way, how many other characters in Tanakh are described as having been in Shemayim before the Kisei HaKavod, interacting with the Malachim? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yechezkel. Those are the ones that come to mind. But where things get very interesting is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu in Arel Sfatayim? Anyone familiar with the Midrash? Right. A Malach comes basically and burns Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth with coal, stopping him from grabbing for the crown, grabbing for the gold. That's the Midrash. And that Midrash is used in conjunction with Moshe Rabbeinu being the Arel Sfatayim. Okay. Does anyone know how Yeshayahu was punished for speaking Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael being an Am Tmei Sfatayim? Beferish in the Navi, in Yeshayahu Perek Vav, the Malach from next to, actually the Saraf, from next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, comes, grabs a coal, goes over to Yeshayahu, and burns Yeshayahu's mouth with the coal for speaking Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael.
It's in Yuma.
What?
It's in Yuma.
It's in Yeshayahu Perek Vav. What? What was Yeshayahu quoting from? Ah, which Gemara is from? So that's a beferish pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Vav. That link between Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshayahu, the Lashon Hara, Tmei Svataim, Arel Svataim. Why is he in Arel Svataim? An angel burnt his mouth with coal. What happened when Yeshayahu said he was Tmei Svataim? An angel burnt his mouth with coal. There's something there that I can't ignore. The further link of interacting with... By the way, does the Torah ever say that Moshe Rabbeinu was interacting with the Malachim surrounding the Kisei HaKavod? Does the Torah ever say that? No, but the Gemara in Shabbos does. The Gemara in Shabbos says, oh, you know what else? You know who else interacted with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Malachim by the Kisei HaKavod? Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu did that also. Okay. When did Moshe Rabbeinu do that? Obviously in Parsha Yitro. Okay? What's the Haftorah for Parsha Yitro? Yishayahu Perek Vav. So there's something there. But the truth is, for all the similarities in storyline, let's say, you could not find more different characters. Meaning the stories are oriented similarly, but the characters themselves seem to be very different. And that the epitome of that difference is expressed. The epitome of that difference is expressed in how they were chosen. Okay? How was Moshe Rabbeinu chosen? What was that process like? God said, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm choosing you, you have this great role, whatever. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, thank you. Not me. Someone else. I'm not the right guy. Send whoever you're going to send. Maybe it should be Aaron. V'chule, v'chule, v'chule. That's one conversation. Rashi actually understands that. How long does that conversation take?
7 days.
We just, you know, kind of see it as a conversation, but Rashi says, oh, it's more shilshom, and oh, 7 days. This conversation is 7 days. What's Rashi trying to do here? I mean, maybe it's just pshat. Maybe it's just pshat, and maybe what Rashi is trying to do is he's trying to accentuate just how hesitant Moshe Rabbeinu was to accept this role. Now, who was the least hesitant person to ever accept their mission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yeshayahu. Does anyone know how Yeshayahu was chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He wasn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have a mission through Klal Yisrael. Who am I going to send? And Yeshayahu said, pick me! Pick me! I think of like Donkey from Shrek. Like, oh, me! Me! Like, that's what I'm envisioning. Right? Pick me! He was never actually chosen. He chose himself. There could not be more polar opposites in terms of being appointed. Right? Furthermore, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's mission? Take Klal Yisrael out of Galut, bring them into Geula. Tell Klal Yisrael their suffering is over, we're going to the Promised Land. How is that going to happen? Nisim and Niflaot. What was going to happen to any nation that stood in our way? They were going to be crushed. What was Yeshayahu's mission? Take Klal Yisrael out of Geula and into Galut. What was going to happen? Total destruction. What happened to any nation that stood in our way? They would be successful. Moshe Rabbeinu's job was to take them out of Galut into Geula. Does he ever complete that role? Moshe Rabbeinu himself never brings them into Eretz Yisrael. He dies before they actually ever enter. Yeshayahu's role was to take them out of Geula into Galut. Does he ever fully do that role? No, he actually dies before the destruction. It's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshayahu would have these basic role reversals. And I think that the understanding that we're supposed to be developing is that Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshayahu were chosen for the exact opposite reasons in their demeanor, in their character traits, in their midot, because they had the exact opposite jobs. Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikol Adam, the last person who would assume that he is supposed to be taking this job, and Yeshayahu was chosen because he was so eager. Why? Well, if your job is to take Klal Yisrael out of Galut into Geula, Yidei Nisim v'Niflot, and everything's going to be wonderful and everything's going to be successful, and it's all going to go your way, and everyone who tries to stand your way is going to be crushed, and you're going to go down as historically the greatest leader of all time. So, what do you think the concern is being the representative of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael? What's the concern with this Navi? He might say what? Kochi ve'otzim yadi asali et kol ha'chayel hazeh. Klal Yisrael is being introduced to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they need to make one thing very clear. It's not Moshe doing this, it's God doing this. And if you assume that it's Moshe doing this, they miss the point, and that is no way to create the foundation of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, thinking that Moshe's been doing all this for us. You need to pick a person who's going to make it extremely clear that I'm nothing more than a vessel for what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. I'm actually not doing any of this. Who do you need to pick? The Anav Mikol Adam. The single most unassuming person. The person who assumed that he is the last person to do this mission. And then you can send him through nothing but successes and miracles and triumphs. And still, the message he's sending to the nation is, it's not me. Not me. It's really not me. You can't think it's me. It's all a Kadosh Baruch. What's your concern when you're sending... when you're sending a Navi on a mission that's nothing but destruction, nothing but despair, and everyone's going to hate you, and no matter what you say, and even though it's so clear it's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they're going to be furious at you for even suggesting that the end is near and the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. What's the concern? You're going to give up. You're going to become depressed. You know, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I don't want to do this. This is awful. This is miserable. I can't, like, this is... I'm doing a terrible job. They don't want this. They don't want me. They don't want any of this. Who do you need to choose? The single most eager person who exists to do this job. And so God doesn't even choose. He says, I'm going to let you choose yourself. Because this is going to be a difficult road. This is going to be a very difficult road. So I think the point of this is, Moshe and Yeshayahu, obviously two of the most notable leaders of all time, displaying completely different and even inverse midot from one another. Yeah, that's the point. Because there's no one character trait that makes you a good leader. No one character trait that says, this is the midot apparently that you have in order to be a gadol in Klal Yisrael. The point is not trying to conform to any one midot. The point is understanding how you use your midah for the mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for you. In the way that Moshe Rabbeinu used his for his mission, and Yeshayahu used his totally opposite midah of Moshe Rabbeinu in a just as productive manner for Klal Yisrael later on. Shabbat shalom. Yeah.